Our message is going to be out of Isaiah 39, but I want to begin here in 2 Chronicles 32. And I'll ask you to hold your place here in 2 Chronicles 32, as we'll come back to it. The triune God of heaven and earth has given to the believer everything. Everything we need to enter into God's presence right now, He's given us absolutely for free by His grace. It cost the believer nothing. It cost God everything. It cost Him His Son, cost His Son His blood, but it cost the believer nothing. And God has given us everything that we have in this life. And were it not for His Holy Spirit working from His throne in glory in our very midst, we would surely take everything God has given us with the name and praise of God on our lips, and we would serve ourselves and join in with this ungodly world and perish forever, were it not for God keeping us. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 22. We know we've been looking at Hezekiah. We've learned a lot in the way God dealt with Hezekiah. We've got one more lesson to learn. I've titled this message, The Trial of Plenty. Which is the trial of plenty. 2 Chronicles 32:22. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib the king of Assyria and from the hand of all, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem and presents to Hezekiah king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign, or he wrought a miracle in saving Hezekiah. Now we've seen both of these things already, Isaiah up to chapter 39. How that the Lord saved him out of the hand of the king of Assyria, how that the Lord saved him when he was sick unto death. Now drop down to verse 27. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. And he made himself treasuries for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance. For God had given him substance very much. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Now hold your place there and turn to Isaiah 39. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All that is in mine house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures that I've not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, shall be carried to Babylon. nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palaces of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Very often, the trial has just begun after we think the trial has ended. Hezekiah's sickness was an obvious trial to him. We tend to get real humble when we are in the middle of a trial and we are made to see our utter weakness. During that attack by the Assyrians, Hezekiah saw he had no strength. During his sickness, Hezekiah saw he had no strength. And the Lord worked in his heart, and the Lord humbled him greatly. And Hezekiah was humbled by it. He said, Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. That's what Hezekiah learned from the trial of his sickness when he was recovered. Hezekiah was a chosen child of God's mercy. In Christ, Hezekiah was without sin. In Christ, Hezekiah had eternal life. In Christ, Hezekiah was washed, purged of all his sin. The Lord declared this to Hezekiah using David as a type, like we saw last week. And he said, For mine own sake and for my servant David's sake, I'm going to save you. It's the same as saying, For mine own sake and for the sake of Christ Jesus, my son, my king, I'm going to save you. What mercy Hezekiah had been shown. He'd been shown tremendous mercy. The Lord had delivered him from the hands of the Assyrians, who were mightier than he. Surely they were going to destroy him. The Lord had given him many gifts and honors conferred upon him. The Lord had performed this great miracle in delivering Hezekiah from death and adding 15 more years to his life. He was forgiven of all his sin in Christ, and he knew it. And no sooner had Hezekiah said this. Look there in Isaiah 38, verse 20. He said, The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. And no sooner had he said that, and we read this. Turn back to 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. When all this honor came, all these gifts began to come in, he began to be prospered after he was recovered from his death. His heart was lifted up, and he didn't give to God as God had given unto him. Look down at verse 31. Second Chronicles 32, 31. 2 Chronicles 32, 31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. You mean God didn't know what was in Hezekiah's heart? That's not what it means. It means he left him to teach Hezekiah what was in his own heart. What was in his own heart. You know, a bullfrog swells up real big and croaks real deep and real loud. And a bullfrog is basically defenseless against every other creature except for flies. That's about the only creature it can harm is a fly. Well, sometimes when we think the trial's over, we begin to obtain new joy, new security, new toys, new prosperity, and we swell up like a big old bullfrog. Our chest pokes out, and you'd think we were the king of the jungle, when all we are is Lord of the Flies. That's it. Vanity and ambition are blinding and absolutely deceitful. And the heart that's in every believer, the heart of flesh that's still in every believer, is deceitful. It's wicked above all things. And we can't know it. If God leaves us alone and doesn't teach us, we don't even realize the deceitfulness of our own heart. Hezekiah was a faithful man. He was a wise man. The Lord said there's none like him. Absolutely none like him. But Hezekiah was no sooner restored back to health and back to prosperity and had his enemies conquered all around about Judah and Jerusalem than he was lifted up in pride. And the Lord left him there to teach him what he is. You know what? Malachi says that the Lord shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and that he will purify the sons of Levi, that is, his royal priesthood. Everyone he's called by his grace and made a king and a priest unto God, the Lord's going to refine us, just like purifying silver and gold in a furnace of fire. And he's going to do it just like he did right here with Hezekiah. He had already done it by allowing the king of Assyria to come up against him. He had already done it by allowing Hezekiah to be sick unto death. And now he's doing it again through prosperity, through much goods that Hezekiah has and much honor. And the Lord does this. He purges his people as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. You see, if he doesn't take away everything and shut us up to him alone, we'll come to God with the filthy security of our own flesh and our own vanity, our own vain religious words and doings, and really think God's going to receive us because of that. And he strips everything from us and brings us to Christ alone, so that through Christ our altar, we come to God with absolutely nothing but Christ only, through faith in him. And that's how we offer an offering to God in righteousness. And he also does this, and he makes us willing to serve him right where he's put us, knowing that everything's his and everything belongs to him, and it deserves to be used for his honor and his glory, and not for our selfish flesh. I don't care how we try to candy coat it. It's not for that. Well, the Lord said, abide in me, and I in you. He said that you can't bear fruit of yourself any more than the vine can bear fruit of, the branch can bear fruit of itself. The branch has got to be in the vine to bear fruit. And we've got to be in Christ to bear fruit. So he says, abide in me, because without me you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. David had been tried, and David said, Lord, you've searched me and you've known me. That's what he's doing to Hezekiah. He's searching him. And he said, and you've tried me. You've known my downsitting and you've known my uprising. You've known everything about me. You've understood my thoughts afar off. And he said, Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. Is that what you want? Is that what I want? To be led in the way everlasting. I mean, really, is that what we want? To be led in the way everlasting. Well, the trial is not always over when we think it's over. Sometimes it's just begun in prosperity. In prosperity. Now, here's the second thing to get. Everything that the Lord gives the believer in this world is for the glory and furtherance of God's name. We're to use them for His name, and not to look anywhere else for assistance but our God. The Lord is the salvation of His people. Salvation is of the Lord. Not partly. All. Salvation is of the Lord. Look at there at 2 Chronicles 32:22. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of the king of Assyria. And the Lord saved them from the hand of all others. And the Lord guided them on every side. Look there at verse 23. Hezekiah was a trophy of God's grace before the eyes of all the people. That's what it's saying. Verse 23. Many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem. That's who they were bringing the gifts to the Lord. And presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. The Lord lifted Hezekiah up and used Hezekiah and all that he did through Hezekiah to show man can't save himself. Salvation's of the Lord. And he made it known round about by this one man. If you'd have seen Judah at the time Assyria came up there, you'd have thought, or Jerusalem, you'd have thought there is absolutely no way Jerusalem's going to, they're not coming out of this one. Everything about them's broke down. Everything, and the king of Assyria's conquered every nation all the way around them. There's no way they're getting out of this. And he brought Hezekiah and the remnant in Judah to see it too. And then the Lord brought him out of it. The Lord brought him out of it. And he didn't get any help from anybody. The Lord did it. The Lord did it absolutely. Look down at verse 29. The people brought this stuff, but look at the end of it. But who gave it? God had given him substance very much. You see, Jerusalem had nothing. It was all gone. Everything had been plundered and pillaged and used it for bad causes. And it was gone. They had nothing. And God not only delivered them out of the hand of the king of Assyria, he gave them much substance. He had the people all around there whose hearts were in his hand, whose substance he had given to them, he had them bring everything to Jerusalem and give it to Jerusalem, to Hezekiah. God not only has saved his people and blessed them with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus and delivered us from Satan and crushed his head, he's also given us everything in this life and is able to provide all things for us using whoever he's pleased to use, and the Lord will do it, and he don't have to have any help from anybody. Well, what did Hezekiah do when he found that out? Well, first of all, he hoarded up what God gave him. Look at verse 27. 2 Chronicles 32:27. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver and for gold. Look down at verse 28. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil. And stalls for all manner of beasts, and sheep coats for the flocks. Verse 29, moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance. That's the first thing he did. You know what the second thing he did was? In Isaiah 39:1, the king of Babylon sent his ambassadors to him and presents to him. And he said, come on in, boys. Let me show you everything I got. You know what he was doing? You know how we got in this mess of being sinners, deserving of the wrath of God? You know how we got in this mess? Satan came. And we said, come on in. You know how Hezekiah's daddy got Jerusalem into the mess they were in Hezekiah's day? Isaiah went up to him and he said, hear what the Lord's saying. The Lord's going to save Judah. You're not going to save them, Ahaz. And Ahaz turned right away from the word of the Lord and he looked at the king of Assyria and he said, come on in, boys. We believe y'all can help us more than the word of the Lord. You know how Hezekiah had gotten himself into this mess just prior to the king of Assyria coming up upon them? He turned from the word of the Lord and turned to Egypt and said, hey boys, come on in. We think y'all can help us get out of this fix. And God said, woe to them that look to the shadow of Egypt and trust in horses and stay upon that which they can see with these eyes and don't cast all their care into the hand of the Lord. And no sooner has God saved him out of the hand of the Assyrian, no sooner has God blessed him with all this substance to be used to build the Lord's house and to go forward in the course of the furtherance of the gospel of God. And Hezekiah hoards all these things up and then turns around when Babylon sends him a little present and says, "Y'all come on in. Maybe we can form an alliance together. And come on in and look at all my treasures and look at what a good ally I will be because of all I have. Look at everything I have here where I can help you." You see, Babylon hated Assyria. They hated them. And they had heard everything the Lord did. But something else, Babylon was a religious people. They worshipped the sun, S-U-N. And you know how God had done this work? In saving Hezekiah, he made the sun go back 10 degrees. And you know what the scripture says, the reason that Babylon came down there? 2 Chronicles says, they sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. You see, Babylon, the mother of harlots, false religions, is not going to come dressed like a harlot. It's dressed like a harlot, all right. But it's going to come saying, "We believe your God. We've been worshiping the same God as you from the beginning. We worship the same God as you." But you see, the difference between true religion and false religion is just this simple. True religion worships the God of all first causes. And in every message, that's what you hear. The God of all first causes, in no uncertain terms, doing the work in the midst of the people. And through that gospel, God brings his people into submission, into obedience by that gospel. Babylon's religion comes saying, "Tell us about this secondary cause, how the sun went back 10 degrees. That's what we want to talk about. Not the God who did it. Not the God who saved you. Not the God who's sovereign, reigning on the throne of glory. Not the God who chooses whom he will and passes by whom he will. Not the God who saved every single person for whom he died, purging them of their sin so that they cannot be lost in no shape, form, or fashion. Not the God who's able to send forth his messengers in truth and in spirit and call out his sheep as he says he does in this word. Don't tell us about him. Tell us about the secondary causes he works. And let's talk about those things and let's make God the secondary and us first." That's what falsehood is. It's putting me up here and God down here. All falsehood is that. And if you just have an ear to hear, you can hear it. You can hear it. I don't care if they don't just listen for election and predestination and Calvinism and Calvinistic and all that junk. Don't listen for that. That don't mean a thing. Who are they glorifying? Who are they preaching? They preaching Christ or are they preaching man? It's clear as a bell if you got ears to hear it. Be careful. Babylon religion will appeal to your power and your position and your prestige, all your pride, because it does not want you. It don't want you. It wants your treasures. A superficial religion has to have buildings, programs, much activity, everything like that on Main Street to attract other people into it. And that costs money. As long as you pay up, you can be a part of it. Listen to the question Isaiah asked Hezekiah, verse 4. Isaiah 39:4. Then said Isaiah, "What have they seen in thine house?" That's a good question. What have they seen in your house? Have you declared to them the glory of God? Hezekiah, did you tell them God's our salvation? Did you tell them that God has freely done all this by His grace? Did you tell them that we were absolutely as helpless as you were 4 or 5 days ago when you were laying on that bed chattering like a crane and couldn't even lift up your eyes to God? Did you tell them that's what this whole nation is? And that's all we are, is worthless, useless grass? Is that what you told them? Or did you fire up your new chariot and tell them to crawl in and come right around with me through the kingdom? Let me show you everything this mighty king's got. Have you told them that all that they see and that they're looking at with their eyes and that they think are great riches that God has given us, and they think that's amazing, and they think the sun going back is amazing? Have you told them that all of that pales in comparison to the God who did it? Do they behold a man spending and being spent for God, for the glory of God, when they came into your house? Or did they behold a man that's heaping up treasures for himself and willing to compromise it all for a bunch of harlots? Which one? Did you make it appear to them, Hezekiah, that you're in leagues with God and God alone? Or did you make it appear to them that you're willing to be in league with them? When our hearts are lifted up in pride, these are the two great dangers we face. We think that our possessions are our salvation. And we're easily beguiled into falsehood. That's the pride of the heart. The pride of the heart. Do you remember how we saw Hezekiah? Look there at Isaiah 38 and look at, let's see if I can find it here. Look at, verse 14, Isaiah 38:14. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. This was when he was sick. This is when he was laying down in the midst of that trial and he had no strength whatsoever. All he could do was say, "Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me." That's all he could do. Do you remember that? You remember that? You ever been there? You ever been to the place where God brought you so low, teaching you what you are, in that day of conversion, to where you couldn't do anything at all but look up to God and say, "Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me." Do you remember that in the last trial that you suffered? Where you were so down, so beaten, so broken by the Spirit of the Lord blowing upon your flesh, to where all you could do is look up to God and say, "Undertake for me, Lord." You remember that? That's where Hezekiah was. Before, if we'd have gone into Hezekiah's house, we'd have seen a man utterly dependent upon God. Now we see a man utterly set on pampering his flesh and acting as if he's his own provider. This is before they went into Babylonian captivity. I read Haggai 1 to you to show you after they'd come out of that trial and God gave them much substance. You know what they did? They went to building their own houses and just said, "Let the Lord's house sit there. It can wait. It's not time yet." You know what it took? The Spirit of God blowing upon that flesh and teaching them what he'd done for them. And then, in Ezra 4, when the adversaries came and said, "Let us build with you. We worship the same God." They said, "We trust in God. We trust in God. We don't need any help." from this world. We don't need any help from falsehood of this world. The Lord saved, the Lord guided, the Lord gave substance very much. Everything is given of the Lord to be used in the service of the Lord, and for us to know that the Lord will provide, and not us, and not Babylon. Well, here's the last thing. The Lord will chasten His children. He will chasten His children. And His children will gladly receive it. And they'll be corrected. Verse 5, Isaiah 39, 5. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and there shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Paul, after he had received much blessing of the Lord and much abundance of the Lord, lest he was lifted up in pride, the Lord gave him a thorn in his flesh. And the Lord gave one to Hezekiah. Hezekiah would live knowing that in days to come, his whole nation and everything he had and his children would be carried away captive into Babylon because of him. And he was taught by that, once again, not to trust in carnal securities, but to know that his father is truly going to do that which is right for him. And where the Spirit of God dwells in a believer, when the Lord teaches us through his word, through his gospel, through his messengers, through providence, we submit to the word of the Lord. This is what he did. It says in 2 Chronicles 32:26, it says, "Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah." Back there in Isaiah 39:8, "Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days." Well, when he says here there'll be peace and truth in my days, he's not acting selfishly here. He's not saying, well, that's all right with me as long as I have peace in my days. What he's saying here is, Lord, I deserve to be carried away into Babylon, into captivity. You've given me something that's purely of your grace, that will have peace in my days, in these days. But because he was a child of mercy, because he was without sin in Christ, though he was full of sin in himself, the Lord never withdrew his love and kindness from Hezekiah. He never did. He taught him this. And he never withdrew grace from Hezekiah. This was grace. What he was teaching him was grace. It's not always, we think of grace as just all roses all the time, don't we? But grace is not always, but this was grace. It's not always how we want it, but it's grace. And this is what he gave him. And he did it this way because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Those he's everlastingly loved, he everlastingly loves. We're sons of Jacob. We're sons of Hezekiah. And we'll do just what Jacob did. We'll do just what Hezekiah did. But he said, I'm God and I change not. And that's the only reason we're not consumed. Because God, who chose us and put us in Christ, who redeemed us by his own blood, said, I won't turn away from you to do you good. But at the same time, he teaches us, he will teach us that which is good. And he won't leave us alone because he's a faithful father. Faithful father. All right, so let's end with these three things and recap this. Here's the first thing. Remember, the trial may be just beginning when you think the trial has ended and you begin to prosper. That's not to scare you. That's not to frighten you. That's to just understand that. Think about that. Be on guard against the deceitful heart. We're so proud by nature. So proud by nature. Consider it great grace when God shows us what it is in our heart, what we are in our heart. When He shows us and makes us to trust Christ alone, trust our Lord alone. The second thing is, remember that when God prospers us, we're still utterly dependent upon Him, as whenever we were chattering on our face before Him like a crane. Just as dependent. And we're to use what He's given us for His glory, because that's why He saved us and called us, and He's given us what He's given us. Anywhere in Scripture that you see God bless His people with abundance, and it's set there, God took it away from them, or He did what He did right here, and He corrected His children, or what He did after Babylon when He corrected them, and He said, "Now, build my house." He does one of those two things. In Hezekiah's case, He took it all away from them. He allowed Babylon to come in, and He took it all away. But after He delivered them out of Babylon, He didn't allow them to take it away. He does one of those two things. And this is the second, to remember under that second heading, too, is to remember that the compliments of Babylon are dangerous. They're going to appeal to everything they can to get you to join them. Everything. And what sounds like we're going to prosper you may really be we're going to plunder you. We're going to plunder you. And thirdly, when the Lord shows you that crafty, subtle foe that's in your own breast and in mine called pride, turn from yourself and flee to God and ask His forgiveness. And you'll find it. You'll find it. Can't you just imagine how ashamed Hezekiah was again after all this and being brought to this place? But you know what the Lord said about this man? And this is still the man that the Lord said he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. That's grace. That's God saving Hezekiah because He saw Hezekiah in Christ, and He saw him as absolutely perfect. Perfect. Let's pray. Lord, we ask You please don't leave us to ourselves. This is what we are. We would surely take the things You've given us, use them for ourselves, join in with all falsehood, were it not for Your keeping, preserving grace. Lord, make us to truly understand these are not just words. These are not just systems. These are not just things we do one day of a week. Father, teach us that You are life. Teach us, Father, that you are indeed righteousness. Teach us, Father, that you are indeed holiness. Teach us, Father, that you are indeed our deliverer. Teach us, Father, that you are salvation. And make Christ your Son, the one you're well pleased with, the one you delight in, make him all in all. Lord, fill us up entirely in every space and nook and cranny. Fill us up with the light of Christ. And make us, Father, to walk on water. Make us, Father, to see that in Christ Jesus we can do all things. And make us see, Lord, how short the time is. Make us see that it's just a short time. Make us truly care and desire and long to see sinners saved by your grace. So that we stop wasting time. Starting in our own homes with our own children. Starting in this place with one another. Starting in this community. Teach us, Father. You've put us here for just a time that is a vapor. And make us useful. Father, we don't want to be worthless donkeys that don't even know their master. Make us to truly know why we're here, whose we are, and who's doing the providing. And Lord, help us to say with Hezekiah, it's the word of the Lord. It's good. Whatever you're pleased to do, we ask it now, Father, according to your riches in glory, according to your abundant mercy, in the precious name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our righteousness. Amen.